You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today. I want to begin today's show similar to yesterday, just saying thanks to everybody for the messages I received. As I mentioned at the beginning of yesterday's show, I had to take a few days off because of the collapsed lung last week, which was not a lot of fun, but I'm really glad to be back on the show and glad to be back talking about what's going on with Tennessee with you. So thanks again to everybody who reached out through social media channels or otherwise and just passed along a kind word or just said, hey, thanks for having the show back, because I'm excited to be back here with you and excited for today's show. It's going to be a mix of Tennessee football and basketball. In segment number two, Grant Ramey is going to stop by the show. He covers Tennessee with GoVols247.com, and we're going to talk about Tennessee's basketball team as well as the Kansas game coming up on Saturday. I'll tell you before that, there was news that came down on Wednesday evening, with the suspensions, and it is not as stiff of a punishment as I expected from the melee at the end of the Kansas State game on Tuesday night. But D'Souza, the player who's really involved with Kansas, he gets a 12-game suspension, so he will not be playing. I don't think anybody expected that he will. And then David McCormack, the big man for Kansas, will also not be playing. He got a 2-game suspension, but that's really it for Kansas. There were two Kansas and two Kansas State players who were suspended for the incident. I thought it would be more than that, which I mentioned at the end of the show on Wednesday, so I was wrong there. It still could be impactful, and I'll get to that before the show ends, but that's the news of the suspensions for Kansas. D'Souza didn't play a lot, and then David McCormack, who is a big guy, 6'10", 265, who will not be available for the Tennessee-Kansas game coming up on Saturday. We're going to get to that in segment number two. I have some football here for you in segment number one, as there was a really interesting note from Pro Football Focus on Nigel Warrior and the way that he graded out this season for Tennessee. I'm going to tell you about that coming up in just a moment, and then look at a few guys on defense who could maybe be guys that can make Nigel-like leaps this upcoming season in 2020. And then in segment number three, a look at the wide receiver position. Juwan Jennings continues to just get a ton of praise and some hype down there at the Senior Bowl. So all of that right here on Locked On Vols. Excited for the show today. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps as well. And you can tell your smart speaker at home to play podcast Locked On VOLS. So the note from Cam Meller with Pro Football Focus, I saw this a couple of days ago. The only Power 5 safety with elite grades against the run, in tackling, and in coverage this season was Nigel Warrior of Tennessee, which is really incredible when you consider the first three seasons for him. He was kind of up and down. It started out as a reserve, of course, and then became a starter for Tennessee, but his play was probably inconsistent. And then in the month of September, I think there were still some real questions about, okay, how good is Nigel really going to play this year as a senior? We always knew about his athletic ability and the hype that surrounded him when he arrived at Tennessee as a big-time recruit. And when I saw him as a freshman, I thought, this guy's going to be really good. He looked the part of an SEC safety. It took him probably a little longer to blossom and longer than he hoped. And he dealt with coaching changes. That was probably part of it as well. But he really became a terrific player. So the only safety in the Power 5 conferences with elite grades against the run, in tackling, and in coverage in 2020 was Nigel Warrior. I think that's incredible. And I hope Nigel is able to go on and play in the NFL. I hope he has a pro career and is able to find some success there. And always liked talking to Nigel in the few opportunities that I did while he was at Tennessee. So in this segment, I thought about trying to look at some older guys on the roster who have a chance to make some kind of Nigel-like leap. And all of these guys are not going to have the same probably kind of talent as Nigel. They will not have arrived at Tennessee with the same level of hype. He was a big-time recruit when he chose Tennessee. But five guys who are older, who have played a good amount, who might have a chance to take a leap and become a really important player for Tennessee in 2020. The first name that comes to mind is Sean Schamberger. He's played a good amount. I think there have been times where Tennessee's coaching staff, where Jeremy Pruitt has said, okay, we'd like to see a little more consistency from Schamberger. But he's a guy that can play multiple positions. He seems to have settled in at that nickel position. He can play safety. He can play in coverage. He can play. He can make plays in the offensive backfield. I thought he had a really good performance in the bowl game against Indiana. And I wonder, Schamberger, now that he's entering his fourth year, he's had 2 years in the defensive system with Jeremy Pruitt and being coached in the defensive backfield by Jeremy Pruitt and then year two with Derek Ansley. I wonder if he can make a big leap and become a really good player. All-SEC player, I would not say that. I mean, maybe. But if he's a guy that just Jeremy Pruitt is saying, yeah, he's a lot more consistent for us and he's making more plays, that could be really big for Tennessee's defense. And it's a defensive backfield that does have to replace Nigel, but will be really experienced with guys coming back. I'm going to get to another DB coming up in just a moment. So Sean Schamberger comes to mind. The next guy I would go with is a player who is going to get a lot of talk heading into this upcoming season. So just add me to the bandwagon for Kevon Bennett. He's a guy that arrived as, you know, a nice prospect from St. Thomas Aquinas down in Fort Lauderdale. He's the son of Cornelius Bennett, so he's a guy that comes from a line of big-time football talent, and he probably needed to figure out exactly how he fits into a defense. Is he a defensive lineman? Is he an outside linebacker? He was affected by the 4-3 to 3-4 change. But as this past season went along, I think Bennett became a lot more comfortable and Tennessee's coaches became a lot more confident in him. I think Bennett's going to have a good chance to lead Tennessee in sacks this upcoming season. So Kevon Bennett heading into his fourth year, can he make a big leap for Tennessee? Another guy that I don't think that he's as talented necessarily, but when he finds a way to make plays, he can really stand out. That's DeAndre Johnson. I put Bennett and Johnson together here because you have to replace Daryl Taylor, and he's a guy that's kind of like Nigel Warren that in October and November really came on, and we knew that Daryl had a ton of talent and was a big-time athlete, and he finally showed that, but Tennessee has to replace him. So Bennett and Johnson, to me, would be two guys to really just kind of package together. Another guy that I would mention here is on the defensive line, and that position group probably has a number of candidates, but a guy that I thought really showed his promise this past season is Darrell Middleton, a guy who arrived in junior college, and I believe I've mentioned on this show, I wondered if he was really going to be a high-level player for Tennessee. He's probably the guy that got the second most amount of attention of the junior college defensive linemen. Savion Williams got more talk when he arrived at Tennessee, but Middleton is the guy that I thought really came on. I saw a video, somebody shared it on Twitter, maybe Darrell, actually, I think he retweeted it, on Twitter on Tuesday or Wednesday, and it was him just blowing up the line of scrimmage against Alabama. Cole Kublik commented on it and said his hands, his leverage, making the difference there. If Darrell can build off what he did this past season, I think he could be potentially an All-SEC player in 2020. So making a big leap heading into this year, Darrell Middleton on the defensive line. And then another guy that still has 2 years of eligibility, but back to the defensive backfield that still has a ton of talent, still has a ton of promise, and could be a really good player, Alante Taylor. Bryce Thompson's the guy that's going to get most of the talk at corner as being the top guy. But Alante this past season, he dealt with what happened at the end of the BYU game. He bounced back from that, and he's still one of the best athletes on the team. He could be a really good playmaker for Tennessee in the defensive backfield. So let's see if Alante can make a jump this year to where he goes from being a guy that was kind of in and out of the lineup to being locked in as a starter for Tennessee heading into 2020. So five guys to choose from on the defensive side of the ball that could make big leaps this upcoming year. Older guys on the roster now. Sean Schamberger, DeAndre Johnson, and Kevon Bennett, an outside linebacker. Darrell Middleton and Alante Taylor, third-year cornerback coming up. If I missed anybody, let me know. And again, I try to go with younger guys. Like Jalen McCullough came to mind, but he's in that second-year leap conversation. Same with Quavarius Crouch. J.J. Peterson hasn't played that much, so I'm not ready to say put his name in this conversation. He's still important. I just look at it a little bit differently. So tell me if I missed anybody on the list of older players on defense who could make a jump. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, I'm going to talk to Grant Ramey of Go Vols 247 about the last couple of games, which have gone really well for Tennessee. What comes up next for the Vols as the competition is about to get tougher? We'll discuss that next right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to welcome to the show Grant Ramey, who covers Tennessee basketball for GoVols247.com. Follow Grant on Twitter, at Grant Ramey. And Grant, I appreciate the time as always. Tennessee is really taking care of business in the last two games against weaker competition, Vandy and Ole Miss. But Tennessee's kind of run away with things in the last two games, haven't they? What would you say is maybe been the most impressive part of what Tennessee has been able to do in its last two wins?
Kind of how they've gone from a team that, if you look at that Georgia loss last week and kind of how ugly it was, and the way they lost that game, you know, kind of just passing the ball around the perimeter, putting up a ton of threes, not playing a lot of defense, not really trying to stop any penetration on the defensive end. To go from that to a really ugly first half at Vanderbilt, and then to kind of flip a switch and play the way they did in the second half at Vanderbilt. I mean, if you look at those box scores from Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, I mean, that's the way Rick Barnes wants to play basketball. Driving to the rim, shooting high percentage shots, being really good on the defensive end, where they've played really good basketball the way Rick Barnes wants it played. So I think that's the most surprising thing, how they went from a team that struggled to kind of follow the plan, the game plan, the execution stuff, to a team that's really doing, and if they can keep that up, I think they'll keep making progress, regardless of who the opponents are.
Yeah, and we'll get to competition's going to get tougher. I think everybody recognizes that. With what you're talking about there, I guess my thought has been maybe individual players are starting to understand what their roles are, and collectively that's coming together. Is that how you would kind of describe it? Is it still, you know, a roster that has been very much put together in progress as this season has gone along?
Yeah, it's really weird the way it's kind of – there's been a lot of shifting the last month with Lamonte ending his season with the surgery, and then you add Santiago Vescovi and you throw him into the mix as soon as he gets here, and you kind of change your offense to fit him at first before you kind of start fitting him to your offense. And now you have Yoris Plavsic available for the last week and a half or so. So I do think the more time goes, I do think they are, A, settling in, and I think the more time goes, B, they will continue to settle in a little bit more. I think Josiah Jordan-James has been kind of the guy that I think his game has kind of changed the most. It seems like he's slowing down a lot and really starting to process stuff well on the floor. I think he's kind of settling in right there at point guard, which allows Santiago to play off the ball sometimes, and that helps him. That helps him kind of simplify things as he's trying to learn on the fly. And I think the addition of a guy like Yoris, what you saw with him against Ole Miss and Olivier Kemwa as well, if they can just give Tennessee a good 5-10 minutes and just allow them to rest John Fulkerson for a minute so he plays 25 to 27 minutes instead of 29 to 32 minutes, I mean, that's a big difference for John Fulkerson. And I think he plays a lot better in that role. So I think as everybody kind of starts to do a little bit more, they look a lot more settled in, and there's a lot more execution. It goes from a really ugly brand of basketball at times to a pretty solid, a decent offensive team, and what can be on the defensive end, a pretty suffocating team at times. So I do think they're taking the steps towards that.
Grant Raymond, GoVols247.com, and you mentioned John Fulkerson. Man, he was assertive against Ole Miss, wasn't he? What did you think about what he did in that game and just the way that Fulkerson has been playing?
It's kind of a two-sided thing with John. The guards have to – what Rick Barnes wants is establish those entry passes early in the game. And even if you're not scoring on the block and your big men aren't scoring early in the game, just get the ball down there and make the defense adjust when the ball gets down there. And that falls on the guards getting the ball there, and it falls on guys like John Fulkerson wanting the ball and demanding the ball early in the game. He can't play. I think he played 37 minutes at Georgia, and he only got two shots off, and that can't happen. And I think mostly that is on Fulkerson for not wanting the ball and not demanding it enough. And I think you've seen against Vanderbilt, and especially the first half against Ole Miss, this is a very different team when he gets some touches early on and scores the basketball and gets a little bit of confidence. I think a lot of that goes to who's defending him. If it's a 6'7", 270 guy like, or 7'2", 270 guy like Azubuike at Kansas, that's going to be a really, really tough matchup for John Fulkerson. But if he can get a forward guarding him that he can take advantage of like he has the last couple games, this is a really different Tennessee basketball team. But regardless of who's on him, they have to some way try to establish some kind of post game or some kind of post presence, just getting those entry passes down there, because when they do that, that opens up a lot for the guards. That opens up driving lanes, gets to those high percentage areas so they don't have to just throw the ball around the perimeter and shoot those three. So he's a really, really big key for this basketball team.
So mentioned competition, it's getting tougher. That's going to be in conference and out of conference as well. And full disclosure, Grant and I are having this conversation without knowing for sure what's going to happen with Kansas and suspensions from the Kansas State game. But either way, this is obviously a tough test, right, going to Allen Fieldhouse. But just here in the middle of the week, Grant, what do you think about Tennessee getting ready for this Big 12 SEC game? And you know, what is a huge opportunity? If Tennessee could get a win there, obviously that's a big-time resume game for Tennessee.
Yeah, and Rick Barnes knows all about Allen Fieldhouse, the number of years he spent in the Big 12 at Texas, almost two decades going to Allen Fieldhouse and dealing with everything in there. It's a decent-sized gym, but the way it's so crowded and everybody's right on top of you, and obviously everybody likes to joke about Kansas getting the calls at Allen Fieldhouse like basically no other team in college basketball gets. But, yeah, regardless of the suspensions and what comes from that brawl, from the Kansas State game Tuesday night, it's an incredibly tough test for Tennessee. I think Kansas is number one in the KenPom ratings. I think they're number three in the polls, 15-3, something like that. Baylor did go in there last week and beat Kansas pretty good at Allen Fieldhouse, but, you know, Baylor's an elite basketball team too. But Tennessee's taken steps in the right direction. They've built a little bit of confidence. I mean, against Ole Miss, you know, Ole Miss got 14 more shots off than Tennessee did, and Tennessee beat them by 25, and I know Ole Miss isn't a very good basketball team, but being able to do that against anybody is a pretty good feat and a pretty good step in the right direction. And just, you know, what we know of right now will be without Silvio D'Souza, the guy who, you know, in that viral picture had the stool or whatever it was over top of his head during that brawl. He's a talented guy, but he only averages 8.5 minutes, and I think 2.8 points and 2.6 rebounds a game, so it wouldn't be a huge blow. It just depends on kind of what the rest of the fallout is. But regardless, for Tennessee, it's a huge test to go on the road. It doesn't hurt you that much because, you know, it's not a conference game. Obviously, it's not going to hurt you in the standings. It's not going to hurt you in the ratings because you're going to play one of the elite teams in the college basketball, if not the most elite team at their place. So it's going to be a really good measuring stick to kind of see what kind of progress they've made, if they've made any, over these last 6-8 weeks.
Grant Ramey, follow his work, govols247.com, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Grant Ramey, keeping up with the Tennessee basketball team. And by the way, Grant, for different reasons, but this team has really become kind of an interesting one to follow with all the different storylines that have taken place this season, which is kind of a transitioning year, right?
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about during some press conferences lately. It's like there's a, you know, you start the season with 7 wins in 8 games. It looks like they're kind of picking up where they've left off the last couple of years. Then things die down a little bit, and Lamonte announces what he announces with his surgery, and he's done. And then Santiago gets here, and when that storyline runs out, Yurosh gets eligible, and kind of when that storyline runs out, you know, Kansas picks up a chair, and it looks like a WWE brawl at the end of their game. So there's nonstop, seems like, storylines with this team as the year goes on.
Yeah, so again, check out his work, govols247.com, where you can read him and follow him, at Grant Ramey. Hey, Grant, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, bud.
Grant Ramey of govols247, and I'll get to a little bit more on the suspensions for Kansas coming up in the next segment. I'll have tomorrow's show to talk about that as well, but I'll get to that as well as the hype around Juwan Jennings and a note on the wide receiver position for Tennessee. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I do want to tell you here, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard about the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. You may not know that Locked On Vols is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Tennessee fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, not just any podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Tennessee fans, with listeners that are well-educated, with disposable income, we can put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. So here's a way to connect if you are interested. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising, and I'll put the link in the show notes if you are interested. So again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. A quick note on the suspensions with Kansas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I'll talk more about it tomorrow, but the two players suspended, D'Souza from Kansas, who's going to be out for 12 games, he has not played a lot. He's a big-time talent. He's actually dealt with the previous issue with the NCAA where he was suspended for a long period of time. because of a handler of his taking money. So he's out. And then also David McCormack. But if you combine those two, the reason it could be a bigger deal is because that does not leave Kansas with a lot of size. McCormack's a starter, has not played a ton of minutes. They've been kind of inconsistent, actually. Played 10 minutes in the game against Kansas State. But he's a 6'10", 260-pound post player who's now not available. If Azubuike gets in foul trouble, that does not leave Kansas with a lot of size around the basket. Now, there's still a ton of talent there for Kansas, and Kansas is going to be a favorite, clearly, against Tennessee this weekend. But the two players, D'Souza and McCormack, both being out, does leave Kansas a little more vulnerable. And with Tennessee now having John Fulkerson and Nuros Plavsic, it can kind of help even things out around the basket. So, again, Kansas is still a big favorite probably going into that game, but it's not nothing, even though, personally, I think those suspensions are light overall, considering what happened at the end of the Kansas-Kansas State game. And more time on Tennessee and Kansas coming up on tomorrow's show. Before I close things out today, on the football side, there is the Senior Bowl going on this week, and you have Juwan Jennings and Daryl Taylor both there. Juwan is a guy that continues to get a ton of attention. He has made some plays. People who cover the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, who's involved, and then Cam Meller, who I mentioned earlier talking about Nigel Warrior, he also commented on Juwan Jennings that he is a bad dude, is the way he kind of put it on Twitter. But the point was that Juwan is not a guy that you want to mess with on the field. He's a physical wide receiver, which is what Jim Nagy has said before. And if you've watched Juwan, you know that Pro Football Focus actually had their first-round mock draft a few days ago, and they put Juwan in the first round, I think, to the Packers, which would actually be kind of interesting. But Juwan's a guy that I think teams are really going to like him in the way that he plays and his intensity and the fact that he goes 100% all the time. The questions around him are probably pretty obvious. One, his health. He's dealt with a number of injuries during his time in college, and there are the off-field questions. If he answers those questions well and teams are really comfortable with where he is medically, I could see him climbing on draft boards. There are a few months to go between now and the draft, but Juwan is going to be a really interesting name to pay attention to. Now, with Juwan being in the draft, that means that Tennessee has to replace him, and Tennessee has to replace Marquez Callaway, as you're well aware. One of the biggest questions I have for Tennessee heading into the season will be at wide receiver. I really like Josh Palmer. Now he's the number one guy, and he's going to get a good amount of attention. He knows that. Tennessee staff knows that. How does he handle it? My guess is that he's going to be a good player for Tennessee this upcoming season. But also at wide receiver, you wonder who steps up. Ramel Keaton is a player that I think we're all going to pay attention to because he was a high school All-American. He has shown the ability to make plays. He did that in the bowl game. And I think progressed as this past season went along. Is he ready to play a big role, though, for Tennessee? Another guy who will have an opportunity was officially announced by Tennessee on Wednesday. That's Velus Jones, the transfer from USC. I've talked about him before, but he is a grad transfer, so he'll be able to play right away. He has speed, and he has a ton of talent. Jeremy Pruitt said this about Velus in a statement, quote, "We are very excited to welcome Velus to our Tennessee football family. Velus is a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. He has strength, speed, and a high football IQ. He will immediately add veteran leadership to our team and be an impact player as both a receiver and as a return guy." And that is worth pointing out. He returned 29 kickoffs this past season for 704 yards and a touchdown. In 2008, Pro Football Focus had him all Pac-12 second team with his kick return abilities. He has legitimate speed. He was not very involved in the offense this past season at USC, but they were very talented at receiver. The year before, 2018, he was more involved. So he's a 6-foot, 190-pound wide receiver. And he has a chance to be one of Tennessee's three or four top wide receivers. You have Brandon Johnson coming back from a redshirt year. And D'Angelo Gibbs is another guy that makes Tennessee, I think, a little more athletic, or at least keeps Tennessee athletic, because it's not like Marquez Callaway was a slouch or Juwan Jennings was. But D'Angelo Gibbs is the transfer who set out from Georgia. And then you have some talented players coming in. I still think Jalen Hyatt could make an early impact. At least one of those freshmen will have to. But I think as we go along this offseason and we do our breakdowns of the different position groups, I think one of the positions that will be most difficult to project in terms of who's most involved, what the numbers will be wide receiver. And that's at the same time that we have a question about what happens at quarterback. Jarrett Garantano is the favorite to be the starter, but that's right now in January. Does that change as the offseason goes along or after the season starts? I don't know. But at wide receiver, that will be something that Tennessee's coaches are going to try to get figured out. You like that T. Martin's there to coach those guys. And with Jones coming in as a transfer, remember, you have that connection with T. Martin having been the coach there at USC when Velus Jones arrives from Alabama. So T. Martin has evaluated Jones in the past. He's coached him in the past. And that's something that should help with Velus making a transition to play right away at Tennessee. And he'll be able to go through the spring, which will help as well. So wide receiver, a position group with, I think, a lot of potential, but probably as many question marks as any position group on Tennessee's football team. Coming up on tomorrow's show, if any news comes out with Tennessee football, of course, have that for you. I'll have a preview for you of Tennessee's game at Kansas on Saturday, and we'll get into some more off-season talk with what's going on with the Vols as Tennessee continues to look for a running backs coach to replace David Johnson. Does Tennessee really get into the mix here with Zach Evans, the five-star running back who is at least listening to Tennessee as several schools are kicking the tires, if that's the right way to describe it, on the former Georgia signee. So there's a lot going on. As I joked yesterday, what offseason? It really doesn't exist. It doesn't feel like it sometimes in college football. Thanks for being here today. Thanks to everybody who's helped spread the word to other Tennessee fans about the Daily Tennessee Podcast, Locked On Vols. My name's Josh Ward. I'll see you again here tomorrow.